everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Fuel Church podcast. We are so excited that you are joining us today. We want to thank all of you that give generously to this ministry. It's because of your giving that this ministry is possible. To give, you can visit us at thefuelchurch.com. Be sure to check into Fuel Church on social media and let others know you are listening. Every check-in makes a difference as we partner with Causely each month to reach those in need. Once again, thanks for joining us. We hope this message inspires you to take your next steps in your faith journey. Enjoy!
Holy Ghost, you're welcome in this place. You will not be grieved. You will not be offended. I give you complete reign and authority. Holy Spirit, I ask you to articulate the Father's heart through my voice to your people. I pray that every ear is open, every heart is open, every mind is open to receive that which you have for us. So I humbly ask you to invade this space. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we just give the Lord a little praise? Just a little praise. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. And when you show up for worship, it's an opportunity for you to declare what you want God to see and do in your life. That's why you need to be on time for worship. Come on. Don't make it an excuse to be late to church. Get here. Get here on time. Get in his presence. The only thing that can help you is God's presence. When you in his presence, it does something in you that you can't do for yourself. You want to be free? I'm telling you, get here. Freedom is in the house. And that's just the beginning. You need to be in community. Some of y'all show up on Sunday and we never see you again. You need to get in a small group. You're going to grow the most in small group, not on Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is the 7 shots of caffeine to go out. Come on, somebody. We meet as a body to get charged, to get vision, to get mission, and then we live that on Monday. And then we meet in groups on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you hear me? Some of y'all losing because you're not in community. You think you're so cool. You can do it on your own. And Satan is laughing. And the reason why we get so deceived is because we aren't adherent to spiritual things. We so focus on the natural that as spiritual people, we don't focus on the spiritual. So we easily deceived. We think if we're a good person, we're good. There's no such thing as a good. You ain't good. I ain't good. No, none of us are good. A good person does not exist. Jesus said, there is none good, none, not one, but God. So Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. Whenever you can continually get your heart exposed to the word, his spirit and his presence, that's what changes you. And you cannot do that if you ain't get in community. I'm alive today because I showed up to church every time the doors was open. I was almost kidnapped and shot at. Do you hear me? I come from a drug. Listen, no one in my family, my grandmother had 9 kids. Not one finished high school or went to college. Almost every female in my family had kids before 18. There's only 2 marriages in my family of my grandmother's children. Do you hear me? I was designed to fail. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. What he make happen for one, he'll make happen for another. I'm not standing up here because I'm special. I'm standing up here because I didn't quit. When I went to college, I ain't had nobody to help me. You know what my grandma gave to me was in college? Baby, I can't give you no money. But bring your laundry, I'll wash them, iron them, and fold them. Listen, you don't ask for help because you're weak. You ask for help because you want to remain strong. So some of y'all walking around weak because you refuse to be in community. Man, I probably can get to my message now, huh? Lord, have mercy. But that clock ain't playing, boy. So we've been in a series of uncommon, right? So I want to talk to y'all this morning about uncommon fear. And here's the premise of my message. It is uncommon for a born-again believer to have a spirit of fear. Your spirit, which is designed by God, is not designed in fear or to carry it. Do you know the born-again spirit mirrors God? Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus, the Bible says you were born again. You are a spirit that has a body. It's not the other way around. If I see someone walking on the moon, I'll see the space suit moving, not the person. You are a walking spacesuit on the earth. You are a spirit first. The enemy wants you to focus on a spacesuit instead of what's in it. Fear, the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. God did not design your human, revealed, God-breathed in you spirit to be owned by the spirit of fear. Do you hear me? All right, so there is what I call a natural fear. Let's say you get in an accident. What's going to happen? Your heart going to be racing. You're going to start sweating. Come on, somebody. You might say a few words you ain't mean. Come on, somebody. Right? Like profusely, like you'll be shaking. That's a natural fear. If you coming around the corner and your spouse scare you. Natural fear. Natural fear and the spirit of fear are two different things. The spirit of fear is designed to stop you from fulfilling God's kingdom purposes for your life. Whenever you see the spirit of fear in the Bible, it's intentional to stop people from pursuing Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So some of you are afraid of what people think about you, so you don't show up to church. Some of you won't respond to an altar call because you're afraid a spirit of fear is stopping you from freedom. Some of you won't even pray in public with people because the spirit of fear. You want to invite people to revival nights. That's not a natural fear. Because all spiritual fear stops you from kingdom purposes. Are you with me? So we all deal with natural fear. And those who don't know Jesus, by default, get a spirit of fear. Come on. So it's like a double whammy. I don't want to be a natural fear and a spirit of fear. You losing. Come on, somebody. So the spirit of fear stops you from kingdom purposes. So Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:7, a very familiar verse. He says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Or the Bible says, or self-control. That's another translation there. You ever wonder why Paul wrote that to Timothy? If you know anything about what's happening at this time, the knucklehead Nero, who was the Roman emperor at the time, this dude was a brat and he was mean. And so he had a plan. He wanted to build a luxurious house, like his whole palace. He wanted to build a palace. But the Senate told him no. So this dude set Rome on fire. He set a whole city on fire to burn it down so he could build his palace. So he got brought before the Senate because they had heard it was him. He said, it wasn't me. No. It was those Christians. Remember we heard him talking in the street about this Holy Spirit fire? So Nero lied on the Christians. So they began what? Capturing them, torturing them, and killing them. And Timothy got scared. He was pastoring the largest church. Many scholars believe 100,000 people. Now, it wasn't one building. They had houses all over the region. But Timothy was young and he was pastoring them. So imagine right now, you know, y'all ever get those emergency texts on your phone, weather alerts? Imagine right now, all of our phones lit up and said, kill the Christians. Right now. You don't think the spirit of fear would attempt to invade this service? It's exactly what happened to Timothy. So then Paul says, Timothy, time out, bro. God has not given you the spirit of fear. It's not from God. Because if Timothy allows the spirit of fear on him, he stops leading. He stops ministering. He stops serving. He stops loving. Because that's what fear does. He said, no, but I'll tell you what he did give you. A spirit of power. Come on. That word power in the Greek translates dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Dunamis. He said, no, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but I'll tell you what he has given you. A spirit of power. That word power translates strength, ability, force. It means miraculous power. Time out. You mean to tell me I got power in me? Absolutely. The problem is we have not lit our wick. We got dormant dynamite on the inside of us because we walk in fear. No, Paul is saying, didn't he also tell him to stir up? That word stir means to ignite. Stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Listen to me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, power, dunamis, lives in you. Do you know what it took to raise Jesus from the dead? Power! That power lives in you. It doesn't visit, it lives. You mean to tell me I'm going to be fearful of a man? A person? Some of y'all scared of people. Are you kidding me? There's some people's presence in your family, you walk in and you get nervous. You get to work and there's domineering people that you are afraid of. You better let the Spirit of God stand up in you. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you power. He says, I've given you a spirit of power. He said, I've given you a spirit of love, agape. What is agape? It ain't just this unconditional love, because believe it or not, there is conditions to love. This is crazy, but it's the truth. God's love has boundaries. You can't do whatever you want to God. Some of us think we could take advantage of God's love and it's going to be, oh, no, there's consequences. God ain't playing. Y'all, he is a just judge. When you stand before him, you can't pay him off. The Bible says we will be without excuse. Listen to me and listen carefully. When you stand before God, your life is going to play. What's in your life you don't want played on that screen? As many of you know, I worked in the NFL for 8 years. And I remember being in the media one time before a game. And Coach Lewis played the fam. And this dude made a stupid tackle. Dumb. So he hit the rewind button. And dude put up his hand to give an excuse. He said, oh, really? Rewind it. He said, but Coach, oh, okay, rewind it. Why? Film don't lie. It don't matter what you think you know, film don't lie. It don't matter who you deceive, who you lie to, who you say, or what you say. No, when you stand before God, film won't lie. So you better get the blood. Your only hope for an edited version is the blood. So God's love propels us out of fear. Agape, what is agape? Lame term for me. It's lavishing love on others, whether they deserve it or not. Agape love is not determined by another person's behavior. What did John say? I know you know God if you love. So if you don't agape, I got a question if you really know him. What does love have to do with fear? Come on, somebody. It's quiet in here. Man, it's quiet. Agape love breaks you free from a spirit of fear. Do you know fear and faith can't reside in the same body? You're either full of faith or full of fear. The more word you get, the more faith you have. You can never say, I don't have enough faith. What you're saying is, I don't have enough word. Because faith comes by and hearing the what? The word. So you got enough music. You got enough talk radio. You listen to talk radio for hours and no word and wonder why you're in fear. But you listen to Taylor Swift and what kind of name is Ice Spice, y'all? I mean, I just. Can ice even be spicy? Like, is that a thing? You gonna put hot sauce on your ice? Like, no, for real. The things we expose our souls to and wonder why we don't get free. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Everybody grab your earlobe. You got an ear. So what are you listening to? You need more faith? Get in the word. Not belief. Belief don't lead to action. Only faith does. You can believe whatever you want. It's faith that prepares you past fear. So if you ain't got enough faith, get some more word. And catch this, never complain about what you permit. Don't blame Pastor Jacob and Tara. Matter of fact, when you hear this service on a Sunday, you should have already rewatched it at least 3 times before next week. Why? Faith comes by. Oh, but you didn't binge watch your series. It's amazing how we as Christians get so excited about telling people about series. Episode 11. Remember when little Ray Ray went down to the... We don't talk about Hebrews chapter 12. We'll talk about episode 11, but not chapter 11. We got enough belief to say, girl, that's good. You got to watch it. It's so good. They got no faith when Satan shows up in our marriage. When our addictions are speaking so loud that we can't put our phone down at midnight. Social media got us so addicted to everybody else's lives that we don't even think about our own. We gotta know what's happening. Just gotta know. Girl, did you hear? I saw that Shannon Sharp posted the results of that Cat Williams video. I almost threw up. I mean, it is the most viewed video ever. Do you hear me? We can't even get a sermon watched that many times. Pure entertainment. That video didn't change my soul. It is a somber spirit at the second service. Man, I'll take it. Because I'm preaching to me too. You kidding me? I'm held accountable. I got to fight just as hard as you. I got to discipline my eyes too. We're not above you. We're with you. That's why we need each other. That's why you got to show up. I don't want to fight alone. I want somebody in the trenches with me. That was crazy about gangs, bro. This was crazy. I was 11 years old, B. We jumping people. Like loyal for stupid. And not getting to church. You can't even get nobody to give you $10 for gas. You're not even humble enough to come to gas on empty and say, I need help. You don't think nobody here, everybody here give you $5? You're a single mom here and you're struggling groceries. Come freaking ask for help. Yeah. I mean, we'll put our money together to buy a pint or get weed. Put our money together, B. Come to church and don't say nothing when we need help. So don't complain about what you permit. We're the body. You don't realize how valuable your pinky toe is till you stub that little sucker. How many of y'all know it hurts when you stub your pinky? That little pinky ain't doing nothing all day. You stub him, your whole body going to convulsions.
That's so true.
Little pinky, dude, this little. Some of y'all pinky toes jacked up, dog. I don't even want that. Some of y'all should not be wearing open-toe shoes, dog. Like, don't do it. You try to get that little paint on that little toe. It's embarrassing. And some of you dudes just had too tight cleats on when you was 18. Stop wearing flip-flops. Don't do it. That toe jacked. But your whole body, arms, limbs, head, stub that little toe. Jack your whole day up. One stub of a toe got you limping the rest of the day. One part of the body that's hurt got us limping the rest of the day. So ask for help. Stop letting fear keep you bound because you're scared of what you think people gonna think about you. Be real talk. Let me just keep it 100. I am a missionary. We got a outreach pantry at our church, but I didn't visit it at least 5 times. Do you hear me? Unashamed. I'm from the projects. I ain't ashamed of nothing. I know what God's brought me from. What example would that be to my kids if I don't ask for help? Your kids don't do what you tell them to do. Your kids do what they see you do. And I'm real, real with my kids. If we ain't got it, we ain't doing it. On front for nobody. Nobody. Because God don't front. He's real. Let me give you these 3 keys. I'm already in the red on the time. Watch the first service. I don't even know what to say. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to give you 3 keys to conquering the spirit of fear. Number one, you got to look unto Jesus. Look at Jesus. Why? You will gravitate towards what you focus on the most. You will always be a magnet to your most dominant thought. So the author of Hebrews said, look into Jesus. Why? Jesus will never hold you to a standard in which he didn't live. Stop looking at man's standards and look at Jesus. You want to get free? Look at Jesus. Don't look at people. Love people. Don't look at them. He said, look at Jesus. You look at Jesus like memories in the garden. Ain't even got time. Just read on your own. Come on, somebody. Jesus in the garden. The Bible says he's so overwhelmed. He starts praying. He sweats great drops of blood. That is a medical term. I can't even pronounce it. But basically, your body gets so under stress that your blood capillaries burst. So much so that after Jesus prayed, an angel came to comfort him. You don't think the spirit of fear was present? Why? What did I say the spirit of fear is? Stopped you from doing kingdom things. Jesus is on a mission for you. And fear is trying to stop him. We don't realize that Jesus, since he was a child, watched people get crucified all the time. He knew what it was going to happen. He knew what he was going to take on our sin. Not corporate. It wasn't like God poured a bucket of sin on him. No, he died for every individual and every individual sinned from every individual. Then he got separated from his daddy. See, we separated from our fathers. For us, it ain't no big deal. Because we don't realize their relationship. They were one. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What? He never been separated from his daddy. He had to because he was in our place. Jesus was separated from his dad so that you can have him. So number one, you got to look at Jesus. Number two, you got to choose joy for the joy that was set before him. There was no joy in being beaten, being betrayed, being ostracized, being lied on. He went through six trials, which he was found guilty when everybody knew he was innocent. The death, the weekend of Passover, when they allow one person to be freed, they wanted Barabbas. Guess who's Barabbas? You and me. He took your place. Lamores Barabbas Crawford, Jake Barabbas Burguy, Joe Barabbas Petty. You are Barabbas. He took your place. What was the joy? You. You are his joy. Shorty might not be your joy, but Shorty might have an attitude tomorrow. Shorty just mean girl. I mean, I don't even know how many translations y'all need. I see Pastor Jake after service. Yeah. Dude might not have joy tomorrow. He might be mad because he ain't pay your half of the rent. I don't know what. Stop shacking up. No, for real. If he ain't willing to marry you, that means he don't know your value. And if you still there, that means you don't know your value. You're telling him you're not worth waiting for. If this was a marriage conference, I would go off. Because you don't know the power you possess. Number three for my note takers. Y'all, dude, listen to me. Stop taking your addiction problems out on her. That ain't fair. You so traumatized that you're not humble enough to do the work to get healed so you can have her. You expect her to give you her best when you're not giving her yours. Why? All men are inherently evil. That's why we need to be born again. You born that way. And then the compound trauma of your childhood doesn't help. You bring you to the relationship. Get right first. Then go get her. And get a freaking job. If you working and he ain't, that's a problem. Don't let him be lazy because his mama let him play video games till he was 30. And some of y'all mama need to kick him out. You don't realize you need to be rescued until you're drowning. And y'all just letting him swim right on the couch. It's same for your salvation. We don't value the cross because we don't know how much of a sinner we really are. Because you think you good. No, you born a sinner. Your behavior doesn't dictate that. It's in you. It's in your DNA. That's why you must repent and accept the atonement at one moment. God made you at one with him through Jesus. That's it. Nothing else. Shame. The Bible says he's despised the shame. Shame will always keep you in fear. Some of you are ashamed of things that Jesus has forgiven you for. The enemy punches your memory for pain. God punches your memory for his promises. So stop rehearsing pain. And we drag our yesterdays into our tomorrows. Let them be. If you hear you dealing with shame, just stand up really quick. Just stand up. Don't let shame have you sitting down. Nothing to be ashamed of. He wants to free you. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Why? Shame is a catalyst for fear. So I'm just going to pray over you by faith. I want you to just receive this by faith. And then you have to take necessary steps to fight shame. Whenever that feeling come up, you have to say something. Stop having wars with your thoughts and defeat it with your mouth. Just receive this. Just put your hands out like this. Just receive this really quick. Father, I pray. I rebuke the spirit of shame right now in Jesus' name. You have not given him a spirit of shame. You've given him a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So any thought of the enemy of shame, I rebuke right now in Jesus' name. I speak freedom to your life. I speak healing to your soul. That your mind is free. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Really quick, every head bow, every eye close. No one looking around. If you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to do so, you know that you know that you know. You might feel, or you know that you know, that he is not the Lord of your life. I ain't say Savior, Lord. If that's you and you want to make that conscious decision by your will this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to count to three. If you want to say yes to Jesus Christ to make him the Lord of your life, just slip your hand up. One, two, three. All over the room. Be bold. Be bold. Keep it up for me. Be bold. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's complete freedom. Anyone else? 5 seconds. Anybody else? 4. Anybody else? No shame. 3. Anybody else? No shame. 2. Anyone else? Thank you. 1. Thank you. Can we all pray this with as a family? But if you raise your hand, I need you to mean it in your heart. So let's pray this together as a family. Say, Father in heaven, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you came to the earth. You bore my sins on the cross. You were buried in the grave, yet you rose again on the third day for me. In you alone, I give my heart, and in you alone, I give my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's rejoice with every hand up. Come on, let's celebrate.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. If you ever have the opportunity, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend gatherings. For more information on locations and service times, please visit us at thefuelchurch.com. We hope this message inspired you to take your next step in your faith journey. See you next week.